We're talking with Axel Tall in Stockholm, who will tell us about some of his experiences and some of the things he remembers. And first of all, Mr. Tall, could you tell us how old you are?
64.
And you've lived always in
Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us a little bit about your family and how they happened to be in this part of the world?
My father came over here in 1902. Some of his fathers were only 4, so that's why he came up to this area. He worked as a stonemason, and many of the foundations that he built are still standing 70 years afterwards. My mother came over a little later from came to her relatives in Jämtland. They were married in 1907. My father worked as a stonemason a while after he was married. Then he began farming. We were 3 boys. I'm the oldest. The best of us next, he's in Pennsylvania, Roland's the youngest is Old Town. Custom works in glass back in the Roland is a carpenter foreman. I did 3 years of high school here in Stockholm. Is the only year they had 3 years of high school. It was the year I was a junior. So I did my last year in Cameron. I graduated when I was 17 from Cameron High School. Then I took a summer course at the Prescott Normal School, 6-week course, and started teaching the next fall. My first school was at the East Jemplin. We had all 8th grades and 30 students. And there was one youngster in the first grade that didn't know a word of English. He could speak Swedish very fluently, but of course so we had to try the first thing is to teach him the English. I stayed at East Jemplin 2 years. The schoolhouse was quite cold the first year. The stove was on the south end of the building, and the stovepipe ran the whole length of the building to the chimney, which was in the north end of the building. The teacher's desk was on a platform, which was quite common for the old country schools. Second year they changed it over so that it was a little bit warmer, but still it was up on the windiest place on the East Jemplin Hill. I drove back and forth in the wintertime with horse and sleigh, and the summertime with a 1-3-4 that my father had. My third year of teaching, I went down to Station Street. Our Station Rowing School in New Sweden. I had, as I remember, all grades there also. And that was a nice location for a schoolhouse at the time, some town. It was in the grove. I stayed there 1 year and then came to Stockholm.
What was the lighting in those one-room schoolhouses?
The lighting was a kerosene lamp. When I was in the Station Street, Station Road School, I tried to get the electric light put in. We had raised some money for the school, but some of the parents didn't seem to be in favor of it. They thought we haven't had electricity, we can get along without it. So the lights were never put in that building when I was there. year I came to Stockholm, I was in the fourth and fifth grade. And as I remember it, the first year I had 56 in my whole room. The school was very large because this was in 1928 and 1929. And the reason the school was so large because the bills were running. And there were a lot of people in Stockholm working in the mills. Then I taught in Stockholm until 1930, the spring of 31. And then the salaries were cut, and I'd saved a little money, so then I went to Castile and did my second year. I had done 3 years of summer school before this, so that by going to Castile and taking extra courses, and I think I went 1 year and found it when I completed the second year of a teacher's college or normal school. The third year, or the next year, I went and finished my third year at Farmington. And that's as far as they had the teacher's college at that time. They only had 3 years. And my class was one of the first ones. Frescal only had 2 years, Castine had only 2 years, but Gorham and Farmington had the 2 year course. Then I came back and taught in Stockholm a year or so, and then I went to Kell in the fall of 35. And I've been there ever since, teaching in the junior high. Except 2 years. 1 year I stayed in Stockholm because of gasoline rationing. It made it hard to get gasoline during the war, and it was hard to travel on tires and whatnot. So then I went back to camp, and then 1 year I was in Connecticut. And the reason I went to Connecticut, because the salary at that time, 1967, was quite a bit higher there than in Kerrville, or in Worcester County for that matter. But then they had lost so many teachers that they decided to raise the salaries here in Worcester County so that they would compare with the salaries outside, so I came back. As I think back, in Kerrville, the changes that have come in the schools. When I first started there, I had 6 classes a day, about 40 in the class, so I had 240 many years different students. I had all the 7th and 8th grade math alone. And now I think we have 5 or 6 math teachers doing the same job. Of course, we have quite a bit larger enrollment, but that's one of the big changes in Kerrville. And of course, we don't have as we have 5 class teaching classes instead of 6. I'm afraid of that.
Let's look back to the early days of the family in Stockholm. Your father had done stonemason work and also had become a farmer.
The most of the farmers that came to farm in Stockholm came here to work in the mills in the first place or in some other trade. My father was a stonemason, and to the Swedes to have a home of their own was quite a thing, because in your country at that time was quite difficult to have a home of their own because of the price of the land and so on, compared to this country. But my father worked in the summertime. Besides working on the farm, he'd work on the road with the team on 16-4. Quite a few summers I remember working for my Uncle John Tall, and they did took care of the road all the way from all the soybeans up to direct. The winter time they used to plow the roads. We with the team, my father and Sargeston had Longworth Street, Longworth Hill, and then the School Street down as far as the school library in Sweden Line. That would take almost a day's time to plow the road, which was quite often. It was a plow that made the two trenches. It was very hard to do, that type of a plow road, but then later on they lowered the road. My father never worked on the road. He went at that time down at the mill, hauling logs from the flat cars to the piles by the river. He went with the team in the wintertime. Then some winters he went hauling the backwood, which they sawed up into strips and laid up in the near boxes. So that it's a lot like the farmers are doing today, many of them, especially for small farmers, that they have to have a work outside in order to keep going. The farms, most of the farms in this area were not very suitable for potatoes. They were good farms for hay and dairy. Some of them are still being farmed, and most of the ones that are fairly level and fairly free from stones, and they have to be quite good land to raise potatoes. And the way the potato situation is lately, I don't know how long they'll keep on. And my father-in-law, for instance, came to Stockholm to be a sawyer in the mill, Milliken Mill. He had been a sawyer in other small mills in the Sweden and Finland. And the reason he bought the farm was because it had a house there that was newly built. Houses were quite scarce in the village, especially fairly good ones. And then he worked as a sawyer for about 5 years, and then he decided to give up and try farming because the potato price was fairly good.
Well, about when would this have been?
This was in the early 1900s, he told me many times, however, Mr. Yundy, that if he had known he was going to stay in farming, he certainly wouldn't have bought a farm to stop him, because he had a chance of a work in Woodland to buy a lot of nice farms. And if the Swedes had settled in a town like Limestone or Cattle, that land was good, that things would have been quite different, I'm sure, because a lot of them did very well with the farms they had here, which the land is not anywhere near as productive, good as the land that's towards the east and Limestone and so on. And we were one thing that I wanted to mention is about the way the welfare worked in the early 1900s. The person at the farm, the place where I live, Agnes Fart, had a shock, and the town was afraid that they might have to pay out some money for him because he was disabled. And then because he wasn't a citizen of the United States as yet, they paid his fare and shipped him back to the old country. And some of the people that lived in a house that is gone out right below where I'm living now, Sven Lind died when he was 37, and Mrs. Lind was left with the family. And the welfare that the people got in those days was very, very little compared to what they're getting today. And we hear so much about the food stamps and the welfare and aid of one sort or another, which is wonderful. But how in the world some of these poor people that were met the special witness, many of the men died young, the passage and all of them like that. Hardly ever got along on the little hat that they dropped, and some of the people that were crippled, how they got along, it amazes me. Many men were killed in the mill, and the insurance they got was very, very little compared to what they should have got. So that the welfare and the aid to the disabled and the widows has improved a great deal, but we should appreciate it, especially once they get the aid. And compared with the fact that the people were 50, 60 years ago now, as we realized that money was not so plentiful, but that was the way it was all over the nation, not just here.